and welcome to episode 331 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amused.
I'm Nigel, and I play Trolls.
This is Keith, and I play Crix, or Signar, one of the two.
Brent, and I play Signar.
This is Seabass, and I play Trolls.
So, we are really close to the eve of War Machine Weekend here. It's pretty exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. I am doing a lot of painting. How about you guys?
I am doing significantly less painting, thanks to a friend of mine loaning me an entire army.
I thought you said you were painting 12 of 16 guys.
I'm painting the few things that have come out that he hasn't painted yet.
No, that's a lot of dudes. 16 guys. Okay, so it's Tuesday. You have to be there on Friday.
Yep.
It's a lot of dudes.
Yep. Oh, I'm going to be done with these guys tonight.
Oh, my God. That's brutal.
I'm literally doing... I've done like half the work already.
Are they all ghosts?
No. Also, as one of my esteemed friends on this cast phrased it, he's super jealous of me and my ability to call it good enough while painting.
Mm-hmm.
I am jealous of that. I'm totally jealous of the fact that
I can just look at my model and go, yeah, that works. Scott is apparently jealous of.
No, I am, because when I'm sorry, I totally just jumped in front of everybody there.
Scott, that please was the best backhanded compliment ever you've given me.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty coded language.
That's not what I meant.
I'm really glad that you could just say that's good enough for me. I think was how you phrased it.
I swear to God, I'm not that bad of a human being.
I painted 20 models in 1 week, and he was like, I wish I could do that. It takes me 2 weeks to paint 6 cloaks. But I guess if you're good, if you're okay with that level of quality.
Okay, so if anybody's I think all of
Scott
you guys
is a painting snob. Don't show him your stuff. Otherwise, they'd be like, yeah, I mean, if you're okay with that.
I'm doing my part to remind people that while Scott may seem like the nice one, it's really not Scott.
Oh, man.
So John's gone, and then I'm the subject of everybody's ire. Is that how this works? John's not here, so Seabass gets the shotgun?
It's always someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
There must always be a John.
No, what I meant by that, so I think all of you guys have seen my trolls at some point. I love my troll. I love trolls. I love the way they look. Every time I sit down to paint a troll model, I really want to dig in and just draw out every possible detail. And so as a result, I do things like spend 6 weeks painting cloaks. I'll do stupid stuff. I remember the blending on Doomshaper's tartan, which I paint all my tartans just solid red because I think it looks better. But the blending on the reds, I remember working on that for just that part of Doomshaper 3 for over a week. Because I'm a very slow painter. And then on top of that, I have this compulsion in my brain that just has to touch every detail. I have to hit every possible detail. And you don't have to do that to make models look really good. And this was the point I was trying to make when I said that to Brent. And I just sounded like the world's biggest jerk.
Yeah, I sound like the douchey parent at the playground. Oh, I wish I were you. I wish I could be happy with my kids if they turned out that way.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a really nice Ford F-150. I mean, you know, it works for you and what you can afford. I prefer my Cadillac Escalade, of course, but
or as one of my friends phrased it, I'm really happy someone settled for you.
So that
you're a settler, and that's all I like about you.
Wow. So, excuse me. I'm so sorry. But that's just the way I am. So. I look at models. I just want to dig in and grab all that detail. But then, you don't have to do that to make models look good. Keith was showing me pictures of his Haley 3. His Haley 3 looks really cool. I love the way his Haley 3 looks. I think Brent's armies look great. But they don't. You guys don't go in and hit every possible detail with multiple different shades and everything. It's not
I can hear this airplane oh no, there's a mountain. There's a mountain. Scott, steer away.
I legitimately mean this as a sincere compliment. I do not mean this in any possible, in any, like, I don't mean this.
There's no way what you're saying is
that your terrible models look good, and I'm jealous of that.
Absolutely. Like, they look really cool. I never thought about painting a person without eyeballs, but you showed, you skip all those details, and I was like, well, that's an interesting choice. I like it.
I'm glad Privateer put all this detail in a model you chose to ignore. Better painters will use
I couldn't do it. I'm compulsive. I can't not. What? Cut, you hit every detail, but I'm, you know, you could skip half of it, and it's like, it's still cool.
No, the difference is that, oh God, there's no way I save myself in this.
There really isn't. But
the point if I would allow myself to use different techniques to complete an army, I could get a lot more work done, and I wouldn't be playing with a pewter army as often as I am. So, like, and it goes back to the thought process of, a painted army always looks great. And I truly believe that. A painted army always looks great. Like, and it looks a lot better than the pewter models that I've been pushing around the table. That's for dang sure. Right? That's actually the point I was trying to make. I'm just very clumsy with words and decided apparently to insult all of my friends. So.
Oh, and we decided it would be fun to heckle you.
Yeah. I'm just glad I haven't been complimented yet, because holy Christ. It's like, if you can,
what are you talking about? You're an amazing painter. I've told you that several times.
Oh, geez. So let's not get into the details of why, because I don't want to know why.
he said he's pretty sure you kept your eyes open on the last thing you painted, Nigel.
Oh,
he's pretty
God.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In all seriousness, Scott, I came from 20 years of playing GW games, and mostly fantasy for that time. Fantasy where you're painting 100 to 300 models, and you can only see the first five of any given unit. And I learned to paint the rank and file in a, well, good enough for what I need, since they're just wound markers. The vast majority of the time, people are going to see your army from 3 feet away, and you just want it to look good from about there and be highly recognizable. I think that's one of the reasons that my Legion color scheme works as sharp as it does, is just because the red sticks out against the black, and it sticks out from across the table.
Yeah, and your Legion army looks really sharp.
But if you will take painting advice from somebody, use your quick techniques. Get your army painted and then go back and, you know, if you've got an entire everything painted, go back and work on just the swords on your fin blades for a week or whatever. But in the meantime, it may not be the standard you want, but everything is fully painted for that champions or that masters tournament.
Yeah, and it was actually really cool because, you know, one of the things I learned – this week painting with Nigel is Nigel's like, all right, man, like you've got that model. It looks good. Load that airbrush up with some Nuln oil and just blast those battle engines. And I've never done that before. Never even thought about it. So I start like, I dumped a bunch of Nuln or Abaddon or whatever, black Nuln oil, whatever that wash is.
Nuln oil.
So I put a bunch of it in my brush and like, I'm shooting it through. And like Nigel's like, all right, I'm going to hang out. I want to hear you do this. So I'm sitting there and I'm shooting it through the brush. And I'm like, huh? Okay. Yeah. Oh my God, this is amazing. So like it, and it like added like all kinds of depth to the battle engines and stuff. So it was really like, and that's like one of those really cool, like super fast techniques that you can pick up that just add like a ton of detail. Like, so I'm trying to do new things because like just in the same way that like I would use new techniques to like do object source lighting on a model or to do like this really meticulous blend to get like this really cool color fade from, you know, bright blue to dark purple or something. Like it's like I focus too much on some of those technical abilities, but I don't focus on technical abilities that at the end of the day are going to get my army on the table. So you're right. I do need to focus and practice on some of those techniques.
I'll show you how to dry brush with a fat paintbrush the next time we sit down.
You want to know something really funny about dry brushing? I told Keith this last night. He didn't believe me. I cannot dry brush.
I'll teach you.
Anyone can dry brush.
I have screwed it up so many times.
I respect you enough to condescendingly teach you.
then my debt is paid, I suppose.
Adam Clark was a high-level fantasy player for a lot of years, and one thing he did with his Chaos Warriors that was – this is one of those things that you just never think about. When you talk about things like zenithal lighting and airbrushing 15 layers of primer. And for our listeners, that's only a slight exaggeration. I think one model, Scott Pan for me, has 8 layers of primer. What Adam would do was... He would prime the entire model white, and then he would dip the entire model in a pot of GW's, whatever the brown ink was at the time, and then he would paint thin layers over it. So everything you're doing with the Xenothal highlighting, the net effect was, these are old techniques, these glazing and all of this. It's just, at the time, that was the tool he had, and it gave the army a consistent, cohesive yellowish-brown undertone to the paint, as well as instantly applying the first layer of shading. And because he primed in white, the first layer of highlighting. There's a lot of techniques you can use to just cut down on that type of prep work. For instance, I have 3 cans of spray paint I'm taking to War Machine Weekend to paint models.
Oh, because you guys have to buy stuff that's coming out and then actually use it?
Yep.
Let me know how I can help with that.
I'll be honest. I need to use it Saturday, so probably not.
Saturday afternoon, or Saturday morning, or Saturday night.
Saturday afternoon. I don't think Scott can help finish 4 models in 48 hours.
Hey, I got Grim 2 done in record time.
2 weeks
for me. No, I actually got them done in like 3 days, right, Nigel?
Yep.
But Nigel, to your question, there is a very fair and balanced model coming out at War Machine Weekend a few days early.
Is this the Trencher Express team?
Yes. And that's why I'm painting 12 models right now, I expect.
Are 11 of them Trencher Long Gunners?
Yes, and one of them has fur.
Yeah.
Bark, bark, there's stealth models over there. Bark, bark.
They all, with the exception of the dog, they all came out Thursday in my area. And I've already got them, I've already got the cloth done. I'm finishing up all the blue, and then I'll go back and do the metals and be done.
Yeah, I guess this won't come out until after it's too late. But so I'm painting up all my trenchers too, and yeesh. I was further behind because it's all my stuff that I'm painting. So I had to get I've got to get through like 14 trenchers, the 11 long gunners, 2 busters. Although I've had some help, which is nice.
Keith, I have a full second unit of trenchers fully painted. If you want to bring them,
no, I'm doing this.
Okay.
But I appreciate it.
Well, while we're talking about War Machine prep, what's everybody else doing? I know Keith's painting. You're ready. You're getting ready. Brent, you're getting ready for the Invitational.
So I am the least prepared I have ever been for an Invitational this year. Aside from the fact that I'm painting models, and I don't mean like the first year when I was painting a Blightbringer because I knew it was coming out. I basically took a month off of the game and I'm scrambling to get games plus paint models.
Yeah, so I'm going to play Gravediggers, but I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm just going to clock myself and be sad.
That's mine as well.
Because those long gunners take forever to activate.
Like, yes.
They win you the game basically every time, but they take forever to shoot stuff.
I just hope I don't lose round one, basically. And that's going to be a rough hope.
Have they bracketed us yet?
They have. My round one opponent is Michael Ireland.
A little on the rough side. Where's the bracket?
Give me a moment. I'll send you the link. There's also a challenge, I believe is how it's worded on War Machine Weekend, where you can fill in your bets for each round. Each person you get right round one is worth a point. Each person round two is worth 2. Round three is worth 4, etc. And the winner gets a free invite to War Machine Weekend next year.
Oh, like to the Invitational?
No, no, no.
Oh, just a
just a free ticket. But I will send you the bracket. It is challenge, challonge.wmw2017. And I'll send you that link.
Yeah.
Keith, your round one opponent is?
Not Chuck.
Keith? No, not Chuck. Corey Doyle.
Corey, that sounds familiar. Oh, he's one of the Storm Chamber guys.
I believe maybe. You're right. I think you're right. Corey Burns is the Legion player who's playing Brandon Shirley round one.
And it is. I did a podcast with these guys. So he might be bringing Gravediggers because I told him that he should to play against Crick. So we might be playing a Gravedigger mirror. That should be fun.
That would be miserable.
I don't know what to do. You just throw a chain. It's just everybody digs in and you just throw a chain. Oh, God, it's going to be so bad.
Chain blasts, and I guess Grandma Haley gets to shoot with trench busters next to her to soak the shots that come back.
I don't know, man. That sounds awful.
I think you both make a deal to play your other list. Like, it doesn't matter what your other list is. I mean, you, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't he the Nemo 3 person on Storm Chamber?
I think he's a Nemo 3 fan, but I think I assume that most, like, I assume that all Signar players are Nemo 3 crazy.
I mean, that could be really rough legitimately for you then, if he does bring Nemo 3.
I mean, how can he drop it when one of my lists has two Stormclads and a battle engine in it?
Right? Is your other list Storm Division or Heavy Metal?
Heavy Metal.
I'd still drop Nemo 3 into that versus
for a caster kill.
Yeah. I don't think Haley 3 can do much better into that either. And into the Haley 2 thing, with as much experience as you have with Haley 2, I would just gamble on putting shots into things around your caster.
I haven't 100% locked in my second list, but it's probably Haley 2 Heavy Metal.
I'm leaning, unfortunately, the same way. Some part of me still wants to play like a strike or two or something else and just say screw it.
Cray.
I'm feeling brave enough, I'll play Cray.
But I think my main issue is just going to be, like you said, like just going to be clock more than anything else. Let's see. Chuck, by the way, had David Beauchamp round one. Oh, Carl Jones has Charles Soong. That'll be interesting.
That will be interesting.
So the I'm pretty certain.
Poor Spencer, the minion player that qualified at the Michigan event I went to.
Oh, yeah.
He was telling me, he's like, yeah, I don't have time to paint up the anti-Crix list I was planning on, and he gets Banky in the first round.
What was he needing for it?
I don't remember. He's a very good painter, so I doubt he would want to play other people's painted stuff, but it's always possible. Yeah.
I mean, if it's a question of having a Crix drop into Banky or not, I think I'm willing to let go of my painting pride.
But is Banky on Crix, or is he going to drop his Grimkin for this one?
I have no idea. Like, I'm not tapped in to the scene at all anymore.
And then the guy who gets through the LCQ gets to play Jake round one.
Ugh.
Yep.
Sorry, John.
Or Josh.
Or Josh, that's right. Yeah, I keep forgetting that Josh is playing in the LCQ this year.
I was the sixth seed, apparently. Go me. Getting a bunch of points in two tournaments.
Yeah, but one of them was Lock and Load. That was kind of large.
I might have gotten some from MuseCon. Possible.
MuseCon, yeah, you sure did.
If you came in top eight, you did. So.
Well, do we have like a real topic to talk about?
I think that Scott was asking about preparation for War Machine Weekend.
What? That's what we were covering.
Outside of just painting. This is something that I want to touch on one other thing. This is something I've hassled Scott about a lot. Large cons like this bring snacks, not just I'm going to buy something at the venue or I'm going to go to Fuzzy's Taco next door. I'm packing a stack of granola bars, Scott. I'll stash them probably inside the Muse place for you, since I know you'll forget. But something when you can't get food between rounds because you're playing a list that almost clocks itself to begin with would be helpful.
I also find that when you're playing a tournament, at least for me, I don't actually like to have meals at all. I like to just have like the granola bar between. If I get hungry, I'll have a granola bar, some water, and then a soda. I don't like to actually eat. I just get like heavy or gross, or you know, you just never know how you're going to like handle a lunch or what you get or whatever. Like, I just don't like it.
Yeah, I tend to eat lighter for sure. So, Keith, as I recall, you bring crackers of some kind.
Oftentimes, animal crackers. Yeah. The original was animal crackers and 7-Up. It's hard to go wrong.
I know. I've been trying to be a little bit more conscious of how I'm physically doing in events. So. I've taken a page from Brent's book, and I'm keeping stuff to snack on with me, too. I have, like, you can go to Walmart and buy, like, those variety snack cracker boxes. So I have one of those that I'm sticking in my actual War Machine bag. So in that way, I always have something with me. So I think it'll be okay. I'm also going to try and be a little bit more conscious of just the time frames between when I actually eat and all those other fun things. That way, because I don't want to get there and like, I don't want to get there and then be having a great time. And then all of a sudden I bottom out and I have to like bail out and go rest and stuff and then miss like all this fun con time because I'm just adult and I didn't take care of myself. Like that sucks. So we'll try to be a little bit more conscious about that this time.
Even if it's not, even without just being referencing you specifically, Scott, that's a situation that's very easy to sneak up on. And I'm not referring even just to gaming, just to be caught up in work or what have you and then realize I haven't eaten all day. And you start, it starts impacting all your decision makings in general. I haven't drank enough water today, or I've only drank vodka all day, which is, you know, there's a time and a place for that too. Don't get me wrong. But, dehydration and lack of food is seriously something that will sneak up on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And I'm going to try and be, like I said, I'm going to try and be a lot more conscious of that.
Now, are you playing in the LCQ?
No, I'm not. I'm taking it easy this time around. I'm just going to – I want to play in, like, some scrambles.
So,
there's some fun events. There's some guys that have reached out to me that there's some troll players that have reached out to me, and I think we all kind of want to try and get together and do, like, a troll lunch or something. So we'll all just, like, go somewhere and then just BS about trolls for a while. We'll see if we can get that put together. I want to do some colossal wrestling. That sounds stupidly fun.
So what you're saying, though, is that even with all the troll CID going live, it's not enough to convince you to actually play in a competitive tournament.
No, I mean, I think it is. I just, there's
you should
some things going on that, like, I really just kind of want to have, like, a really kind of relaxed and just want to have a little bit more fun with it. Work has been exceptionally challenging lately, and I know a lot of people think of work as being, you know, just exceptionally challenging day at the office is, you know, paperwork doesn't go right or numbers are down or something. But in my line of work, a very hard day at the office is something entirely different. So I'm really just kind of looking forward to just not having any additional pressure and just going and just having fun and playing in scrambles and stuff like that. So
you should get your troll buddies together and do an 8-man troll scramble.
That would be amazing.
It's the only way I could guarantee trolls would win.
It's like trolls still a 50% win rate. Garbage faction.
Also, everybody else with the combo, thank you, since they wouldn't have to then play trolls.
Yeah, yeah. They wouldn't have to play against Madrak 1 all day.
Yeah, or you just could even see them.
I mean, everyone knows what everyone's speed and defense is.
That's true.
And I really want to walk by when one Madrak 1 brick slams into another Madrak 1 brick with champions and wrong eye on both sides.
See, nobody's playing the wrong eye thing. Everybody's kind of down on that. And I think it's probably one of the stronger methods to play him. A lot of people are really down on that, though. A lot of people are like, nah, it's too many points. It doesn't do enough for the army. They're already good enough as they are.
You know the actual reason why?
Because people don't have wrong eye and snapjaw?
No. Because I've yet to meet a troll player who likes using minions in their army. They just want more trolls.
You know what? I can't defend that. That's probably true. Because I can tell you, I don't like playing minions in my troll armies. I want my troll army to be all trolls.
You're as bad as the Signar players from Mark II.
I really am, Keith. I'm sorry.
You're just basically clan members. It's racial purity all the way through.
Well,
have you read Doomshaper's fluff?
Oh,
I'm just
Hitler.
In character.
He's
man.
Just Hitler.
Yeah. No, like, when I get my Hearthgut Hooch Hauler, one of the things I want to do is I want to make it, like, I want to basically turn it into, like, a bar, like an open-air bar. And, like, I want to put, like, all these, like complete white trash bumper stickers all over it, you know? And one of them is going to be, like, Doomshaper Madrak 2017, because I think that's really funny. That might need to be edited out. I'm sorry if it does.
They would have to be running, I think they'd have to be running opposite each other. I mean, their basic stances are pretty disparate. I don't think they can come together on one ticket.
Can you put MTGA on the bottom of the battle wagon?
Make the Thornwood great again?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's going on there. Because I really want to do, because basically the Hooch Hauler, I'm getting way off topic, but the Hooch Hauler is essentially a gigantic keg. So I want like all these, like what I want to do is I want to do like a whole bunch of neon signs. And so I want to do is a showcase model. I want to do like a whole bunch of neon signs coming off the side of it that have like stupid, like knockoff beer logos on it, you know, like Caspian Brew or whatever. And then, cause it'll give off like a, like the neon lights will give off like a whole bunch of like really cool lighting effects on the model. So it'll look neat. But I also, on the actual keg, I just want to put like a whole bunch of just like cheesy white trash bumper stickers, like just like picture like every bad thing you've ever thought of in that vein. And that's the bumper stickers that I want to put on it. And I think it'll be funny.
In that case, I would recommend that one you put down, The Thornwood Will Rise Again.
That's amazing.
Or something about cold dead hands and a scattergunner. And two, you can get really fine chicken wire mesh at many hobby stores and gardening stores, and you can put that around the driver and then paint a giant number on the front.
Amazing.
In fact, I will help you do that.
Oh yeah, this is going to be like a really, this is going to be super cool. I'm excited for this project.
Make sure that it is actually turning left on the model so it can go fast and turn left.
Oh right, yep, because they don't make right turns.
You're playing trolls. There's nothing right about it.
Hey, mm-hmm. Watch out. So what else does, like, because I know when I go to a convention, as I try to dangerously steer ourselves like back on topic because I'm terrible at derailing us. I know when I go to a con, I don't necessarily have a ritual for getting ready for competitive War Machine. I probably should at this point. Like, there's probably things that Keith, you do, and Brent and Nigel. But I can say, whenever you make plans to go to a con, like, one of the things that I always try to make a good amount of time for is just interacting with other people and just getting to know people. Because the community is what makes this game amazing. So, and then I also try to, like, space out events so I have time. Because sometimes Watch Machine is just fun. Is there anything like that that you guys do, or like anything like that you guys would recommend people do whenever they look at major cons?
Well, if you're going from a competitive standpoint, sign up for every single tournament you can and play in all of them. And that's semi-serious because in all honesty, if you're starting and starting to get competitive, you need the practice at a higher level than you're going to get in your local meta. And I basically say that across the board because with very few exceptions, your local meta is not going to be as competitive as the average con.
Well, it's like a double-edged sword. Not only is your local meta not as competitive, but you also will typically not get a true game experience in a vacuum. Like, a tournament's the only place where you're going to have a two-list versus a two-list format. And if you've got something, what you want to be able to do is sort of bellwether testing on, like, ideas against what you think the meta's doing. And if you do that locally, so either you're playing against pushovers who are going to get smashed because they're not even like thinking about tournaments, or you're going to do like me, like, oh, Zerkova, I got this cool Zerkova 2 list I want to play. And then John's like, teehee, I want to play Severius 1 with the book. And like, you know, like that is sort of, that's 100% my experience in pickup games like locally.
That was a solid game. I saw that.
Yeah, that was exactly. I was like, I really want to see if there's anything going on with this. And he's like, teehee. It's just something I just happen to have in my bag, so I want to play it. And it was like, God damn it. Yeah. The only thing
At least when I ran you over twice, it was like, I think this list works into Crix. And it's like, let's find out.
Yeah.
And that is the flip side. That is, I've got a friend of mine who is pretty solid with his Crix. And if I ask him to play Ghost Fleet or Dark Host or what have you, he'll play it and he'll do it relatively well. And he'll give me a really solid, challenging game every time. Hmm. But if I ask him just, hey, you want to get a game in, he'll pull out the Scavarus Jack Heavy list that he's been testing into Melee Crick or Melee Signar.
Hmm.
And
get annihilated.
Yeah, it was not his most fun game, I don't think. So the metas, I mean, in a larger con, everyone will be bringing up competitive list is the assumption. If you stay in, the people who were there to get in a couple of fun games and drop will no longer be in. So even if you're doing poorly, even the people in the 2-2 bracket that you're playing will give you solid games, and they may be dropping stuff you just don't see locally. That's the biggest thing. For instance, I tend to over-evaluate how good KDOR is in the national meta, because in the Midwest, every second player plays KDOR. Mm-hmm. So you tend to think that I have to have a KDOR drop, and you build your lists and you think about, what do I need to do about KDOR? And everything is focused on KDOR. And then the one KDOR player in the, 20-man tournament gets a really bad matchup round one and gets knocked out. And then you're like, well, the second list is worthless. It helps expose you to different lists and different ways of thinking.
Then your anti-KDOR drop kind of morphs into, like, that's also your Signar drop. And you end up, like, making a list that you play into, like, 80 things because you're sort of seeing those things and you're realizing you don't have to do too much to adapt your specific list to a wider variety.
I've heard of mythical places where every second person is not KDOR, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
One day I plan on moving to one of those places.
What's a KDOR?
What's it like? What? Are you serious?
Wisconsin and Florida?
We don't have any.
The lightest KDOR jack list, because every KDOR player has a jack list, the lightest I've ever had to deal with lately has been 7, but it was backed up by Karchev, I think. So,
so 8. 8's not that bad. Have you played Gravediggers into it yet?
Yes.
How's it go?
They have to walk into you. It's not great for them. I'm finding that a lot of stuff with Gravediggers I can sum up with, and then baby Haley had to do more work than I was expecting her to do. Thankfully, she could.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty common.
Are
you playing Ayana or Alexia?
Current build is Ayana. I was going to go Alexia. It was more models to paint, and I liked the magic weapons for Krix. I think if the meta was more jack heavy.
Interesting, right? Because the Ayana's magic weaponry on the long gunners makes you better against Blackbane and the solos, but Alexia's magic sword makes you better against the Wraith Engine. So it's kind of like.
I still have baby Haley.
Try to melee down the Wraith Engine. Does she do that on average?
So she's going in at PAL 12, probably.
Not without help.
With Weapon Master?
Yeah, if you get Ragman and a harm on it, it's certainly dead, I suppose.
Even if you skip the harm, if you just give magic guns to the long gunners, that goes a long way.
Yeah. Yep, that's probably fine. Yeah, I've been waffling really hard. The Europeans have been like, every conversation with them, it's like, well, it's obviously Alexia. I'm like, I don't see it. Like, everything in my head says Ayana. The last time I listened to other people's advice, John got me to drop the wrong list and lose an Iron Gauntlet game. So,
I think if the meta is more beast jack heavy, Alexia is probably the right call.
She does just kill a heavy or two every game.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't need the attachment with Alexia.
No.
Although it does do really stupid tricks. The thing is, with Alexia, I'm probably taking Thorn. Because I'm not taking triple Grenadiers because I don't get my third free solo.
Yeah, it's 2 more points. No, you can still get you can still get the 3 free solos. You have to drop a point from your battle groups. You have to play like Grenadier, Firefly like
for the Ragman. But I've been dropping Thorn instead because he can just sit there and off by himself and be def 17 with dodge against the charge, and that's probably enough. And then with that enabled for Alexia. You can actually do the stupid trick of bringing back a person, and then Alexia runs one way, and the Risen she brought up runs another, and she's no longer in command with the UA.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can force hammer your newly made Risen over somebody's head.
Yeah. Like she also just provides – she's so good in 2017 because she makes a solo every turn.
Yes.
A solo and another solo. A solo that can effectively run like 18, it can effectively move 18 inches because it's like advanced 6, turn into a solo, run 12.
It also has the perk of just continuous solos for your flag too, or what have you. But I haven't needed one yet. It seems like in a lot of matchups, I don't like to just use the phrase I'm about to use, but I can just write off one of my trench busters. For my nearby flag on Spread the Net, I don't like doing that because there's such a damage potential. But
on recon, let's see. I've played him on recon, and I put Finn on the flag. And then when I played the one with flags in the middle, or a flag near the middle, which one is that? Circles on either side, flags in the middle. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Then it was
that's the outflank for this edition.
Right. Then it was Hitch that was hanging out on the flag. But yeah, there's usually somebody. There's a lot of solos in that list, but Alexia just makes it brain dead easy. So yeah, there's a real toss up between the two.
I did test out Forge Guard for a brief moment to see if I could get the same effect as Stormblades or pre-grave diggers. You can't. Just throwing that out there. It's not quite the same.
Doesn't surprise me.
If they counted as trenchers, you could.
Where for tactician would be really nice.
That's what it came down to for me was I can't charge through my own guys. It's probably not worth it.
Are you scared? We went trick-or-treating tonight, and Aurora, there was one particularly spooky house. That's water. That's paint water. It's Aki paint water. We went to one particular... Yeah, we went to one spooky house, and there was a somebody. The guy warned us. He's like, "Watch out for that zombie right there!" And it popped up, but Aurora was very scared. It was adorable. She just sits there and shakes. Mm-hmm. She's like quivers in place. It's highly entertaining. I suppose I shouldn't be as entertained.
Well, it's probably okay now. I mean, you know, 12, 14, 16. That's probably less funny.
Yeah, sure.
I actually forgot that one thing though. Isn't Jackie winning the LCQ this year? I thought I saw that post.
Oh, yeah, apparently so. Yeah, she's claimed it.
Nice.
On the LCQ, I don't know how people keep asking this year after year, but I know I field this question at least 6 times every year. You still have to be fully painted, according to the last thing I saw from Carl, if you want to play in the Invitational.
Yeah, she would have the problem of she's playing the same Signar stuff that I'm using in the LCQ. So it would be borrow time.
Oh, I thought she was on a Wraith engine.
I mean, the Crix isn't painted either.
Oh. So you're not playing in Champions?
I'm not playing in Champions, no.
I'm painting Express teams, so.
I mean, I'm probably also painting Express teams, but I just don't think I don't think I've got the casters that go in Champions. It's like Kane and Maddox, right?
Yeah, Kane, Maddox. You could. There's probably a strong Darius list there. You're looking at a two Colossals and a Stormstrider, maybe. But it's not a terribly exciting and fun-filled day.
Nope, pass. Hard pass.
I will be bringing black, white, and Army Painter beige. Paints if you need any of those. Are you coming in Thursday or Friday?
I will be there technically on Friday, but
okay,
I will be there Friday in the AM because we're leaving after Jackie's done with work at like 9 o'clock on Thursday evening.
Do I need to go through the line and get you trenchers Thursday if they have them?
I think
I can. Okay.
Oh, on Thursday?
Yes.
They're opening the store on Thursday.
If they do,
VIPs.
They have the VIP thing going.
They are. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I was asking if anybody needed me to snipe anything for them.
Yeah. If either of you could get me Express teams, I will bring cash to reimburse.
Sounds like a plan.
And I need Ledu.
It's going to come down to how many they will sell me.
Yeah. Because you're like, I need 6 Express teams. And they're like, you can have one. And you're like,
That's actually what I'm worried about.
I'm less worried because half of Northwest Arkansas bought VIP tickets. There's literally me, you, Chris Collins, Brad, Brian Priest, and I think there's like 2 more going.
Peyton?
I don't think Peyton did.
Oh, okay.
Because his dad did. But the only things that, I mean, they're playing it super close-lipped. They've said Trenchers will be there. And they've said Northkin will be there. And everything else they've said won't be there.
Wait. Well, Northkin what?
Everything.
In models. Like everything Northkin except for the Hooch Hauler. And I think the Basher will not be there. The Ice Troll will be there, which I'm not sure how crazy I am about, but I'll pick some up.
Cole Grima?
Grima will be there. The Northkin Elder will be there. So that's actually the motivation behind me getting a VIP ticket, was to make sure that I got a Cole Grima. Because I want to put her together and then, like, immediately start playing her.
Is she any good?
I think she's very good. I think she's going to do a job that Doomshaper 3 might be in trouble of not being able to do anymore, which is to take a large battle group and then deliver it very safely. I think she also can do a very good job of having, like, I think she probably has a little bit stronger scenario presence than I think people typically associate with a Beast Brick.
Also, holy hell, she's got, like, she can Cloud Wall on the one hand. On the other hand, if she's like, Cloud Wall's not cutting it this turn, I'm going to just get Mulg into position and start dropping these range 10, POW 14 signs important sprays all over the place.
Yep.
Like, she's got really powerful, too. Very, very powerful.
Absolutely. And her feat is the first time trolls have seen, or not the first time, but one of the few times, especially recently, the trolls are seeing something that's very close to a very, very strong control feat.
Yeah, that feat seems so good. Like, and it was worse, and then they made it better, and then the troll players started to complain about it. They're like, why did you do that to it? Why did you make it so much better? I was like, I don't understand you people.
What's her feat?
Her feat is everything in her control area. Yeah, essentially, everything in her control area cannot make ranged attacks. They lose flight, eyeless sight, and pathfinder, and they are pushed back 2 inches in any direction you or in the direction directly away from her in the order you choose.
Which seems fair, like, on a
A little bit of Zirkova 1, a little bit of Kruger 2, and a little bit of Balder 1. Just like a little dash each.
And she's Fury 8?
She is Fury 7, but she does have access to Arcane Repeater.
Yeah. I was just thinking she was 8 with access to Arcane Repeater because
no, she's a 7. Which
she's not a Krix caster.
Yeah, she's not Calandra.
I'm excited to get her and immediately start doing some testing with her. It's kind of an argument with anyways. I'll save it because I'm going to go into Troll Dojo with this, and I don't know if we're ready to go that direction or if we even want to. So
that's where we're headed. May as well.
All right, sweet. So
I would like to remind you of one thing.
Yeah.
At your age, if it lasts for more than 4 hours, please see a doctor.
Oh, the minute they said Northkin's been out, like, I've been in constant communication with the ER, the doctor, and everything about priapism, so I understand.
Why isn't Cole Grima in War Room? This is so annoying. Frustrating.
Keith, before we get into Troll Dojo, I got to ask Keith the question he's been getting all week. Okay. The guy with the spyglass, is he the leader or the officer?
Oh, dear God, the spy. The one with the chevrons of officership on his shoulder is the officer. He has his hand up and his head is metal. The spyglass guy is just the leader. It's just the leader.
I figured you hadn't answered that enough on the Signar forum.
And I'm going to make people play it that way. I'll be like, I'm going to shoot your UA, this guy. And they'll be like, no, I'm putting that as the leader. I was like, well, once he dies, you're going to lose your rerolls. You can pretend he has one wound if you want.
I'm marking the bases now, so.
Oh, I need to do that. A couple of thought processes that I've been kind of fighting with in Trolls real quick. I kind of wanted to go there is like, so the Trencher Express team actually puts Doomshaper 3 in kind of a precarious position. And the reason why it does is because typically Doomshaper 3 has been the caster you would drop into a gunline because gunlines don't kill Doomshaper 3's army. It doesn't happen. Not on feat turn anyway. Unfortunately though, the Trencher Express teams, plus with all the merc options available, we're seeing kind of a resurgence in ranged Grievous Wounds between Free Alt and Ashley and Free Express teams. Which
I'm paying for my Express team.
Yeah, that's also. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. You absolutely are.
Can I interrupt one moment, Scott, before we go down this Troll Dojo path? For the 6 people who don't know why Keith and I have been discussing buying a model and painting it the day it's released for War Machine Weekend at the Invitational that day, perhaps we should touch on why the Express teams are fair and balanced and good for the game.
That's fair. So the Trencher Express team, for those of you who don't know, is a 2-man unit. They are there's a gunner and a spotter. The gunner is a Trollkin model. He's a medium base. He is range 14, POW 14, Grievous Wounds. At rat five.
You missed something.
What's up?
Thunderbolt.
Oh, and it is a thunderbolt shot as well. Yes, Absolutely. So Grievous Wounds is a particularly strong ability against trolls, especially against Doomshaper 3. So you can't really defend against his shots that well, because as long as the spotter is base-to-base with the shooter in that unit, you gain boosted two hit rolls.
The spotter also gives them the cautious advance order from the trencher UA, which is advance and dig in and then shoot.
Yep. So you're not going to blast him out. And even if you could try, I think the gunner is still arm 16.
It sounds so, right.
With yeah, five, so you're not, I think he has eight boxes. I think the officer has five. I think he has eight.
Does someone have war room up to check on that one?
I don't offhand.
Oh yeah. I've got it open. What are we checking?
Trencher Express team wounds.
Five on the troll.
And okay. One on the officer, correct?
Yeah.
Now okay, so it's five. The key part here is you cannot revive either member of this unit, something that a lot of people seem to think for some reason you can.
Oh, no, you cannot, because it's an officer and a...
Officer and a spotter.
Yeah, there are no grunts in that unit is the key point. But with that, so you've got access to two shots that are range grievous wounds. They are difficult to remove from the table at range. Not so difficult to remove in melee. They fall pretty easily in melee, which is fine because it's not their intended role. So what that does is that puts Doomshaper 3 in kind of a rough position, because now you're either forcing Doomshaper 3 to play Warders and Band of Heroes for access to multiple shield guards, or you're forcing Doomshaper 3 to play multiple bouncers. And he doesn't really want to do either one of those things. He wants, like, one bouncer for, like, the one Alt Nashley shot if you run into a Merc player that takes Alt Nashley, or the one Eris shot, or the one critical shot. But you typically don't want to run lots of bouncers with him, because outside of Rage, Doomshaper 3 doesn't really get anything out of a bouncer, except for the shield guard, because he already has implacability, so he already has just a better Earth's Blessing. So the shield guard's really the only thing the bouncer brings to the table. I actually think that if Gravediggers plus with the express teams is going to be as common as it is, I actually think that kind of pushes Doomshaper into kind of a bad spot, because Doomshaper 3 would typically be the drop you want to drop into a gun line. So I have two questions. Can we either discuss in Dojo Kulgrimma or discuss in Dojo Doomshaper 3, looking at it in the lens of I'm going to have an answer to express teams? Because I'm actually kind of stuck. Doomshaper 3 and Grim 2 are obviously, to anybody who's ever listened to the cast, my favorite warlocks in the game, let alone trolls. I don't want, and I love the things that Doomshaper 3 brings to the game, because he's just such an incredibly hard, hard question to answer. But if Range Grievous is going to become commonplace, and the ability to pick your column, the ability to produce power strength 20 shots on demand out of the long gunners, plus the extra damage, plus PAL 14 brutal charges.
I mean, you got to wander into their range. Man.
You do. But the thing is I don't think you really have an opportunity to not go into the range. Like, you obviously have to come forward, because Doomshaper 3 is a brick of bricks, right? He is the brickiest of bricks. So, like, you have to go in. You don't have a choice. Like, you can't stay on the periphery, because he just can't. Even with, I'm sorry, my brain is short circuiting now. But even with the room bearer and a 16-inch control area, you really can't push yourself too far out, because then you're just stuck with this super soft, squishy center, and you'll end up getting Doomshaper killed pretty trivially. So you kind of have to brick up. You got to brick up pretty hard to let the list kind of do the things it needs to do. So I don't know that you can not just walk into the range.
So I've got a dumb question for you. Sure. Why couldn't you just run, say, three bouncers?
Well, so I mean,
it may not be as fun or as cool, but it's also, I'm going to go camp a zone with a bouncer who's armor 20?
21 after 21? The stone. Yeah, there's 17 plus 2 for the shield plus 2 for the stone.
And 20-something boxes, and I just don't die. Regardless of feat turn, it seems like those would be decent pieces anyway. And I know that they were used with Ragnar for a while.
They were used with Ragnar primarily because they were very hard to get rid of. True. The other reason why they were used with Ragnar is because Ragnar has Pulverizer, so you could actually get their power strength up high enough to threaten other heavy pieces. So the reason why you don't see a lot of them with Doomshaper 3, and the reason why I haven't used them a lot with Doomy 3, is because outside of Rage and Stone, you're not getting – you don't have that thing that's going to push them over the edge, right? So you can get them up to power strength 16 very easily through Rage and Stone, but you can't get them any further than that. Now, power strength 16 is still very good. I'm not saying it's not. But in a game where Doomshaper 3, as your armor drop, has to trade with 10 Kador heavies or 8 Kador heavies, you really don't have space – in my experience, you don't have space in the list – for models that can't hit hard enough to threaten a Marauder or to threaten a Juggernaut. And I think that's why you don't see them. You don't see them as much, for sure.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at, like, Power of Dunia, Doomshaper, Molg, two Bouncers, an Axer, a Mauler, a Bomber, and then you still have the Creelstone Bearer and the Scribe Elder, and then you've got your free... I haven't even picked my free dudes yet.
Sure, which your free dudes... Like, you have a lot of flexibility there, like, because you should get three free dudes with that list, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. And the list you're running is Molg, Mauler,
Axer, Bomber, and then two Bouncers.
So you're giving up the Earthborn Dire Troll for the extra Bouncer.
Or for the Bomber.
For the Bomber. And then, like, because the traditional, like, Doomshaper 3 list that I've been running was Mauler, Molg, Earthborn. So it ran four heavies. And then it was Axer Bouncer. And then free stuff. Go ahead.
So if this is just your anti-armor drop, why don't you go a different direction and just go Molg, Mauler, two Bouncers, and how many Slag Trolls can you take in there?
I had a list built that ran four Slag Trolls.
It seems like that would be very easy to trade those with Marauders.
It is. It is. They will trade up. I actually ran Horgul 2 with four Slags and a Mountain King. And even despite having a Mountain King into Marauders, like an ARM 23 Mountain King is still extremely hard to bring down, even for Marauders. So I ran that, and that was fine. It was a very good list. The problem with Slag Trolls, my only concern with Slag Trolls is that they feel very one-dimensional. Because their mat and rat are fairly low, I feel like they, against hordes, they will struggle to get work done. Now, with that being said, that may not be a consideration even worth making, but that's my concern with it right now, especially with the way I typically play the game. Like in a standard pairing or standard tournament, if I bring, say, Grim 2 and Doomshaper 3, I'm almost always dropping Doomshaper 3 into everything I can find to drop them into. And then I drop Grim 2 into the matchups that I know Doomshaper 3 can't handle, which makes it a very good pair.
The only hordes I've been seeing have been Grimkin to an extent, which have their own challenges for you. Yep. Legion, which plays hit-and-run games. And then Circle, which is probably going to be a lot of Braticus. So it seems like Slags would be fairly solid into that type of meta. Plus, if you're going to – I mean, they may feel one-dimensional, but you're literally building an armor SKU brick list to go and beat up on other armor SKU brick lists. It couldn't be more one-dimensional to begin with.
Sure. That's a fair point.
I would think that four Slags with Rage and Stone and Doomy should be decent for you? I don't know.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. It's like, I don't know, I don't see a huge amount of variety in what you can do with Doomshaper 3.
There's really not.
Because you want Molg, because he's got Stranglehold. That's like a guaranteed yes. You want the Mauler, and then it's like there's like two more heavy slots probably. You want to bring about four heavies. And then it's like if you're attacking against Express teams / Alt Nashley, you want two Bouncers. And then it's just a Creelstone. And that's like that's it. So it's like you pick two heavies and you pick two lights and you have your Doomshaper list, kind of.
Mm.
And maybe there's some like crazy stuff to be looked at with him, but his spell list doesn't really reward branching out too much, because it's just battle group, remove enemy upkeeps, control anti-enemy battle group.
And that's probably why I've had a reasonable amount of success with Doomshaper 3, is because he's very straightforward. He's obstinately powerful. He does one job, and he does it better than any other warcaster in the game, in my opinion, which is probably why I've had success with him.
So then the question would be, is there value or potential to take him out of that tier? Once you start getting it in your head that you have to adapt to, like, other things, like warders are interesting if you can get him in there, but obviously you'd have to be out of tier.
The problem is he's still going to want a very big battle group, I think. So you not only have to – either have to run him completely out of tier, or you have to run him into a theme where he gets minimal benefits from the rest of it.
Maybe two free cards.
The two free cards is the – as long as you get other benefits that you can value, like let me see here. Creel Company, at least they ignore line of sight and plus one to the starting roll. And you can take battle engines, which he doesn't really do good with. But like his scroll, the scroll that gives you signs of importance for units is kind of interesting. You can sort of try to take other aspects. Obviously, with the trencher guys, there's going to be smokes in front of them, so you can't really do too much there. But
doesn't one of the trolls have eyeless sight?
That's what I was wondering. I think
the night troll.
Yeah, the night troll.
Yeah, he's got eyeless sight.
Yeah, the night troll does. He also has man eater.
And I mean, once you start killing some things, they can't revive, so I mean, you're trading heavies for, or you're trading lights for trencher infantry, but then you've still got heavies to deal with. So,
well, the thing is, once the minion CID drops, if you can find 5 points for Linus and Lucy. Lucy's got the wind blast spell now.
Ooh,
or windstorm. The AOE 4 destroys all clouds it touches.
She also just has wind wall, right?
Just for it's wind barrier or something. It's for her and Linus. That's it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like full on super.
Yeah,
it's for her. And if Linus is completely within three, I think.
Well, and this is kind of what's dragging me back to the original question of, you know, do I slot in the second bouncer or even the third bouncer, or do we just look? Or is it better for me to look at Kolgrimma at that point? Because I think Kolgrimma, built into Power of Dunia, is going to do a lot of the same things Doomshaper 3 does, only she's going to do it a different way, right? But she also, with having Hunter's Mark on a stick, plus an archable Hunter's Mark through Mung, like, I feel like you don't, like, I could lessen the burden I place on Linus Arissal, so I might not even need her in the list at that point. So not only does she have more Warbeast points, but I'm also saving myself a solo, and I get a delivery function for my army similar to Doomshaper 3's. It's not as obstinately powerful as Doomshaper 3's, but it does have a control element built into it that is going to help me not lose on scenario, or at least give me the opportunity to get up
she
the board and be able to pick
four clouds, and then she's bone dry, right?
Right.
She's camping. No, she is bone dry.
Yeah, she needs Harmonious Exaltation and then all seven Fury to make four clouds.
Right, but you can...
Assuming no upkeeps. Does she have upkeeps? Like, I don't know what her final rules are because she's not in War Room. Like, we don't have her final rules yet.
Right. Yeah. All I can do is go off the last known CID incarnation of her.
Which, I mean, is usually pretty close to what we get, but isn't guaranteed. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will say about Kolgrimma's Cloudwall is that you do have access to Northkin Shamans in Power of Dunia.
Oh, so they can extend it to six clouds. That's pretty good.
Yep. And on top of extending it to six clouds, the Northkin Shamans teleport behind the clouds they place.
Right.
So it's actually a cloud wall. Like, you're not in danger of losing the one troll that's in concealment that creates part of it, which has been, like, it's...
And her cloud wall, especially in Power of Dunina, has the initial advantage of... A lot of times cloud walls come with an inherent disadvantage, like... Haley 3, for example, it's like, behind that cloud wall are a bunch of one-wound troopers all packed into, like, a 10-inch area. So if you can somehow get some AoEs drifting back there, it's going to be pretty good for you, unless they're dug in, which happens sometimes. But Kolgrimma's cloud wall is going to be like, here's this cloud wall, I'm not paying a single point for it, and this is where it differs from Irusk's cloud wall, Nigel. She's not paying any points for it, and behind it is an entire troll battle group of four heavies, and it's like, oh, that's since she's got more Warbeast points, it might even be like five heavies. It's like, that's a little scarier. It's a little different.
Actually, and there's a second thought too. There, Scott, is what's your Grim Angus list look like these days?
So, Grim two?
Angus is Grim one.
Grim Angus is Grim one. Grim two. There's actually a couple builds. Nigel and I were talking the other night, and he's got me He's got the old think tank churning on Highwayman, and I was talking to Felix online over the Facebook group, and he's going to try Highwayman with it too, and it looks really good. So I think what that list is going to look like is Grim 2, Double Bomber, Double War Wagon, and then probably Krillstone, Highwayman, Free Braylon, Free Felcaller, and then
no Thumpers?
Probably no Thumpers this time.
So sad.
Yeah, they're so good, but I don't know. I'm torn. I really want that second solo.
So did you squeeze in the Bogtrog Shaman?
No, I haven't.
CID for him gives him, what isn't it, Eyeless Sight and Magic Weapons both for friendly?
He has that now.
He has it for friendly faction. Faction.
Yeah.
And they're changing it to friendly the last Blindwater CID.
Ooh, gross.
Yeah, if he switches over to friendly faction, absolutely he'll start showing up in Grim lists all the time. Right now, or if he switches over to friendly and not friendly faction, right now he's obviously staying out because he there's no synergy with that list.
Why wouldn't you drop that list into Signar though?
Because I'm worried when they see both of those lists, they may end up just not dropping Haley 3. And then they'll end up dropping like Haley 2 Heavy Metal, which event that Grim 2 list is in a lot of trouble.
Is it?
Yeah. Because when Haley 2 shuts down the battle engines, plus double bombers, like her min feat shuts down every key piece in that list. It's hard. Hard.
I mean, that's technically true, but that also means that she feats and then she either burns TKs on everything, which means she gets to not do a whole lot of work into you, or you sit there and snipe and shoot some stuff.
That's fair. That's fair. It's probably worth it to consider just burning off the feat just to give everything snipe. So that way you have a reply. Like you still can project force even on her feat turn, which is probably really good. So that's a good point.
And she's going to feat like if you run. Isn't she kind of okay into your other list anyways?
She can struggle against Doomshaper 3 because implacability is very backbreaking to her game plan.
Mm.
Like with her
and
not
he's got
having
a good
the
counter feat to her too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm more saying if you go into Cold Grimma and you're like, I'm going to cloud wall your cloud wall. And then they, I don't know if it, all yeah. it takes is two Grievous Wound guns to like take you out of Doomshaper 3. Then they don't need to play that. They could, you know, they're like chasing you into something that they can actually just get a different matchup themselves.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
I mean, honestly, two Grievous Wounds guns basically means you lose a beast on your feet turn instead of not losing a beast on your feet turn.
Sure. Because the
rest of your stuff is still completely invulnerable, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to apply Grievous Wounds to shut down Doomshaper's feet. Like, you have to. Because I don't, even if you're dumping everything at max POW strength, you know, like when you heal D3 plus 3 every time you take damage, it's going to take an awful lot of power strength 20 shots to bring down a molar.
So I'm wondering if it's really that it's, oh my God, I can't play Doomy 3 as opposed to knee jerk. Oh my God, they're doing something on my feet turn and I don't like that because they're touching me in bad places.
Well, I think it's both, but in fairness, the Alton Ashley alone was enough to give trolls heartburn, even with taking your bouncer or sometimes even warders plus bouncer. Alton Ashley alone was enough to give troll players heartburn just because of the ability to just apply Grievous Wounds to any one location. It's really, really strong, and it's not necessarily the fact that they'll apply it through your shield guard because they absolutely won't. It's the fact that they get to dictate where your beast brick is going to be because you can't just let them apply Grievous Wounds wherever they want. So you kind of have to like follow this little nebulous bubble that's always protected by a shield guard to make sure that you don't lose a high value piece to a 5-point or a 6-point solo. Is essentially how that ended up working for me.
And by that, you mean a 5 or 6 point solo plus a 22 point units activation plus a 12 point units activation plus probably the other 5 point solo.
Well, but let's be perfectly fair though. Like if trolls have low spirit stats, if you drill out the spirit on a troll, they're useless. It's just like stripping the cortex out of a jack. You take the cortex out of a jack and they can't repair it. A jack's useless. Yeah, it's going to kill like a dude. Sometimes too. I guess if I roll really hot, it'll like, I no, it won't even do that. A mauler will just kill two dudes.
Useless only until for one turn, Grievous Wounds isn't applied and then hyper regeneration kicks in and they're fine.
Yeah, but at that point, can't they just continue to... Well, I guess you can reactively, like, move the bouncer over so that way they have to shift targets.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay, so that's a really good point.
I think you just need to play that matchup a lot more.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
Okay, fair. All right.
Worst case scenario, I think you either lose a heavy or two of your heavies may not be able to charge on feet turn, probably just one of them, which is still survivable?
I mean, the good news is whatever you don't kill is probably going to give you fits, especially like once they start hitting your line, because I think you'll actually have a hard time getting rid of that much armor that fast.
Yeah, I've learned to start measuring the 3.25 inches away from Arcane Vortex and then repo throwing that Ragman back in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep, because you don't want mold being able to just take it all away. That's another thing, too. Like, I might be overestimating it, too, because mold being an arc node opens up a lot of possibility. So that's really good points. I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me about that, because I was legitimately extremely worried about that. But I think you guys are right. I think I just need to play it as is. And then if I need to, I'll make adjustments to pull in a second bouncer.
Yeah, I think one is probably fine most of the time. Because I don't think all Haley 3 lists are going to have two express teams. Like, I had only planned to play one, and I've been moving points around, and one of the ways I found that they, like, slotted in was with the second express team, but I'm, like, I wasn't married to it. Some other people were, but I don't think it's crucial. So I'm sure there are other players that won't think it's crucial. Also, Haley 3, still the hardest caster in the game to play, so most of the people that do it are going to suck. Like, she's just impossible. She will just clock herself. And I will be terrible with her for a while. Most people who play her are going to be terrible with her for a while, and some people will be terrible with her forever. So,
I lost a game last tournament where literally my last three turns should have consisted of put up temporal acceleration, count to 15 seconds, tap the clock. Instead, I clocked at 9-5 on control points because I was trying to get to actually win as opposed to just staying ahead by one.
Seven.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
And I lost to Richie doing the same thing.
You did. You absolutely did. I watched that game conclude. I was kind of surprised, but yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's no guarantee that the express teams are going to be everywhere. That's a really good point.
Actually, I firmly believe there will be two of them in every Haley 3 list, but that's because the more I play them, the more I want a third one if I could take it.
The boosted attack roll Thunderbolt shot is obviously pretty good.
Yeah, that's actually why. It's effectively a range 20 shot, and the fact they score while dug in, while moving, is just stupid.
Yeah, they are definitely hard to dig out. I'll give them that.
No, you just engage them. Then they're no longer dug in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, yes.
Gorehounds.
Oh, so good, aren't they?
Annoying.
Use your Hellmouth Tentacle for that.
I don't play Legion.
I had a poor Meenoth player who dug in with Adrian's, and I made one tentacle and undug everybody, and then Deathstalkers went to town. Yep. It was not his favorite day.
I used I always enjoyed using like regular Iron Fang, like their mini feet, where they can reposition five and then go back into shield wall. So like I'd charge like a bunch of stuff, or I'd get up the field, and then like I would mini feet, and then I would move one Iron Fang like 5 inches, but I would keep him 2 inches away from the trenchers. So like he's at max melee range, so he can just move through them or by them, and he would engage all of them as he's moving. And then you could just undig like however many you could get in like a 5-inch bubble around him, like in that 5-inch reposition move. Like I've done that a lot. It's pretty good. And actually, the more I think about it too, also like, it also depends on how you present the army too, because if you're presenting an Earthborn Dire Troll as the option for them to, as the most viable target for them to shoot, like if you're presenting an Earthborn Dire Troll because it threatens the furthest, that's actually really interesting too, because I guess like an Earthborn Dire Troll trivially goes to armor 22, because of SR 2017 terrain. It's not hard to find a way to get him to arm 22. It's also not hard to find a way to get him to speed 7.
And then you've got Mulligan, so I can't harm him?
Exactly. So
yeah, Mulligan really changes a lot of matchups with Arcane Vortex. Like that's
different. That's a really good point. Man, thank you guys so much for talking me through that. It makes so much logical sense, and I was so worried about it. I mean, I don't think the game's easy by any stretch, but I think it's definitely playable.
Like Doomshaper 1's probably got some serious Crix chops these days.
Think so?
Yeah, how are they going to kill him? Like, Ghostly can't really kill Mulg. Like, it's just armor 21, and they can't do anything about it. Like, they can get it down to 19, but then 19's still real tough for them.
I guess on feet, they can get him down to 17.
Yeah, if you let her at them on the feet turn, but don't do that.
I mean, man, if they engage that Wraith Engine and don't kill Mulg that turn, that's a dead Wraith Engine.
I think you summed up literally all of anything engaging Mulg that doesn't kill Mulg that turn.
Yeah.
If they have a Striker 1 Arcane Shielded feated on Colossal next to Mulg, they better kill Mulg.
Actually, that's sadly probably very true, because Mulg gets up to Power Strength 23 in that list at Fury 5. And he's pseudo Fury 6 if you want to do Doomshaper tricks with him.
Yep.
So, like, he's going to crank out 4, 6, 8 attacks at Power Strength 23. He might not kill it, but, man, he'd give it a heck of a headache.
And you probably took Arcane Shield off, because don't you have Repudiate?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Dracodile in Scorn, but...
If you're dug in, are you immune to the effect of the AoE, like, if it causes fire?
No, you're still hit. You can be lit on fire, you just won't take damage from the AoE.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Keith, you were talking about Kolgrimma. You had mentioned Kolgrimma shortly. Like, what was your thought process behind her?
Oh, as being a better Crix drop, possibly. Because she can, like, Cloud Shutdown charges, which is sort of how Ghost Fleet can, the only way Ghost Fleet can really deal with real armor. Plus then like Mulg can always be basically clear within 10 inches of himself just because she'll just lay down the frost hammers. But one of the main issues with, a lot of trollcasters that can play a lot more aggressively against Denegra if they're standing next to a Mulg that's got 3 fury on him. Can't scourge him. Can't parasite him.
Yep.
That's probably pretty strong either way. I'm trying to think of like which ones have the stronger anti-Crix toolbox, and it might be Kolgrimma. Like Doomshaper is super purification is strong, but Kolgrimma just has. Doesn't she have like Arcane Vortex herself too, or something?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
So she can keep 2 bubbles of Arcane Vortex going.
Yeah,
so I hear that's okay against Crix.
So she can just hang out next to like. One little group of heavies contesting a zone, and Mulg hangs out next to another group of heavies contesting a zone. What are you going to do? It's pretty scary.
By the way, speaking of trolls, is Chad coming for War Machine Weekend this year?
It sounds like he is.
I'm super excited. The hero has returned. Well, that got awkward quick.
What?
I mean, it kind of started that way and just went downhill, but yes, it did.
No, I think it's anytime you get to see a player who has had the success level that Chad has had, and has kind of been the banner bearer for trolls, for as long as he had been, anytime you get to see him like kind of step back into the ring, even if it's only for a short time or just, you know, just to do it cause he wants to, you know, wants to play this weekend and maybe not the next, like it's still cool to see him come back is my point.
Yeah. I know he's pretty out of practice, but hopefully it goes well for him. I hope he has a good time.
Well, like if he jumps,
we get to see him. I haven't seen that guy forever.
Yeah, yep. And if he jumps in the LCQ by like round 4, you can like troll your way in round 4 by accident, and then by that time you're like, I think I got the hang of things. He'll just mad drag the crap out of everybody.
Pulling up Kolgrimma's last known incarnation. Give me just a moment while I do so. Control F. There we go. Kolgrimma. Pathfinder Tough, Dark Power, Owl's Wisdom, which is a star action, range command. Her command is 7.
She can tell people where to put the mouse brick in the farm.
Yeah, pretty much. And by saying that, what you mean is she can get rid of upkeeps.
Hmm.
Enemy upkeep spells and animi on target-friendly faction model expire and cannot be targeted by enemy spells for 1 round.
God, good lord. Oh, so she doesn't have Arcane Vortex anymore. She's got the owl thing.
Right. She has the owl thing. She doesn't have Arcane Vortex anymore.
Still.
She has Dispel on her weapon. And then, yeah. Hunter's Mark, Freezing Mist, Cursed Fate, Vanish, and Winter's Tide is a spell list. So, yeah, she's probably a stronger Crix drop. Just because Al's Wisdom seems like it could be... I don't know. That always feels like a little bit of a... It's always a little bit of a gamble, but probably fine.
I'm pretty certain Al's Wisdom plus Mulg is probably survivable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the point. All right, so she has 28 Warbeast points. All right, boys. Dojo time. I'm going to figure out a cool Grimma list, because I intend to pick her up at the con, and I'm going to be player.
Remember when we were talking about Doom Shaper 3?
Yeah.
Same story, right?
You want just Mauler, literally.
You want a Mauler, and now you've got, you can pick another couple heavies and some lights.
And two bouncers.
Sure.
Runner spell list by me again.
Her spell list is Cursed Fate.
What's that model?
It's the same thing Tanith has, essentially. It's minus two def, and if you don't exceed their armor, they take a point of damage.
Is it target model?
The diff model unit. It costs two. It's range 10. The difference is it's not an upkeep, so you can spam it.
Okay.
I don't know that is necessarily going to change how that spell is going to play on her or not. I don't know. Her next spell is Freezing Mist, which is just a 3-inch cold cloud. Then she has Hunter's Mark and Vanish, which is the same thing that King 3 has. Actually, it's not. It's with completely within 3 inches of her current location.
It's what Agathea has.
Agathea. And then Winter's Tide, which is Spray 10. It's cost 2, Spray 10, POW 12, Cold Spray, Critical Hit, Stationary. And then her feat is, we've already talked about it, but yeah, she's really strong.
So she can advance and then cast her thingy, her Hunter's Mark, and then vanish back behind a cloud if you need a backfield one, or behind a building if that's probably doable.
Yeah, and I don't think it's not going to be difficult to get a couple of Northkin in her list, Northkin Shamans. So I think you can pretty much like place that however you need to place it to protect her. So that seems really good. 28 Warbeast points. So.
Outside of just this dojo, by the way, there are other things at War Machine Weekend that I thought you were preparing for, Scott.
What do you mean?
There is a painting contest.
I don't have any models to enter into it. I don't have anything ready to enter into it this year. I've got a couple of ideas, and next year I'm definitely going to be ready, especially if that Hooch Hauler, because I think that Hooch Hauler is going to be really cool. But I don't really have anything ready to go right now.
I mean, there's always Haley 2.
There is always Haley 2, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. But yeah, lots of painting competitions. I'm also looking forward to playing like some board games and stuff too. I don't know about everybody else, but like there's the new L5R card game is really good. Richie's been playing that a lot, and so he's kind of got me interested in it. So I kind of want to goof around with that a little bit too.
These.
One of the regrets I have of not going is I don't get to make everybody play Batman.
Oh, see, I would be glad to try Batman too. That game looks really cool.
You know, I held off and I held off and I held off, and I came out with the Joker gang and I got real close to buying it and I still held off. And then they previewed the limited edition Red Sun Superman today.
Yep.
That may actually be what does it.
Yeah. Now, that Red Sun Superman they previewed, there's a flaw. There's a fly in the ointment. He is a model you can only get by spending $100 on their direct store from Spain.
Oh, it's direct store only? I thought it was just $100 or more.
Just on their direct store from Spain. So you have to buy directly from them, which isn't the worst, because you can buy your Joker crew, which is like $40, and then a couple other things, and then you can get there. But it's frustrating some players right now. But there's already a Red Sun Superman. That's just a special edition version of a guy who already exists, and he doesn't even have unique rules. But he is very cool. That model is amazing. And yes, I am 100% in agreement with you. I'll have to somehow make a shopping cart with $100 in it so I can get that guy.
Now, do y'all do tokens for...
We do.
Batman.
Yeah, they're not officially out on the store yet, but we make knockdown KO, and we make blood stun, and we make ammo Titan canister tokens, so you can do that. We used to make a bunch of movement widgets, but that's all gone out the window. And then we make 3D printed buildings. And we kind of had to get a feel for the new edition to sort of refigure out how we're going to release everything. But it's with, like, Company of Iron. Like, I love War Machine, and I enjoy it. But, like, Company of Iron, I just can't. It's Batman is Company of Iron for me. It's, like, just nails it. It's so good.
Anything else coming out on the store, by the way?
Yes, there's going to be 3D printed buildings that are coming out at War Machine Weekend, and then they'll also be on the store. And then there's also, and those will be crap. I don't know how much they're going to cost, but
they will cost some money.
They will bring cost some money. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be $30 each, two for $50, or something along those lines. And then there'll be three different colors of buildings, and then they'll have like two different types of chimneys, and you can kind of mix and match your building types if you want to buy them as a pack or just each one by itself. And then there's finally a game tracker. We sort of I smashed my head. I actually had a ton of ideas, and I developed a bunch of ways to do a game tracker that did the score plus the turn. And when John came back from the WTC, Mahu and those guys had basically all just, and Josh came back. A lot of their feedback was like, it has to be visible from like a camera. And I had to like take all the development I'd done to that point and throw it away. And because I was doing like a cribbage board, concept, and then like the three dials on a sheet, like a little index card size piece of plastic with three dials built into it or something, you know, like just none of that stuff you'd be able to read from more than, you know, arm's length from your body. And so I threw all that crap away, came out with this like totally bizarre new thing that you basically have to see it to understand what's going on. But
so I think that's something that a lot of people have been asking about since SR-17 came out. What's the price point for that one going to be?
$20.
And you've already set aside one for me, correct? Good.
Yeah. We're going to try to bring 100 to War Machine Weekend. And so there should be plenty for everybody. Because I don't even know. Like, I doubt that.
I don't think there's going to be enough. Well, there's a lot more people than 100 people at War Machine Weekend.
There are some flaws. I hate to, like, not. I hate to un-ShamWow the ShamWow commercial, but. It's fully printed. It's a three-dimensional form factor. This isn't dials. It's not a sheet where you write with a marker and dry erase. It's like a piece of terrain that you have to assemble, and it's a little bit weird. So it's kind of cool, but it's a little bit complex. So what I'm worried about, I've got to come up with the instructions tomorrow and then release the instructions with it. But it's actually even a little bit complicated to assemble because it's there's some. Again, I like really went into the jank tank on like teching this thing out, and the way the dial works, I don't know if you've seen it, is really weird. But it's like I had to kind of innovate a way to like do the score and in a way that was like visible from the camera. It couldn't just be a little baby number that you wheeled on a dial. It couldn't be. There's a lot of things it couldn't be. So I had to figure out a way to get like big numbers on a surface and also make it cool and interesting to interact with. It's basically like a little holder where you have a slider where you slide the turn tracker, and then each person can access their own scenario point score. So they actually take it out of this container and then they can wheel it. It's like two hexagons, and one hexagon is 0 through 5, and the other hexagon is upside down 0, 0, 1, and then it's 6 through 9. And it's upside down because 1 and 0 are the same either way. But then what you'll do is you'll like, you know, you'll have the 9 side on the left upside down, and you'll have like, you'll go 1 through 5 because it'll just be a 0 on the left. 1 through 5, as soon as you hit 5, you scroll that up to 0, and then you flip the dial and go to 6. You like rotate the dial and put it back in. It's like really weird. It works really fast and it's very simple once you understand it. But then assembling it is complicated. So we basically.
So what will they be selling for assembled?
They won't. You'll have to do it. There's no way we could. There's no way production wise we could. Yeah, there's no way. If people want them at War Machine Weekend, they just have to buy the unassembled $20 one.
Not a problem. I'll be happy to buy it and happy to put them together because that thing looks sweet.
Mm. And yeah, have a buddy help you. Like one person will figure it out. And like I said, we'll have instructions. But it's like, again, it's like a weird piece. So you're going to have to hobby it up a little bit. But it's worth it, I think. It'll be cool.
Hey, Nigel.
Huh.
I have like a gigantic laser printer at my house. Do you want to just send me that thing and I'll just print off 100 copies of it?
Sure.
Your instruction sheet.
Oh, well, yeah.
Just send it to me. Just send it. Like, the printer I have is stupidly overpowered for my home.
Oh, okay.
So send it to me. I'll print them off and I'll bring them up with me.
Awesome. Because
it's color laser. Like, it shouldn't be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just print it black and white because I'm just going to do black and white instructions and then.
Okay, sure.
You know, keep it simple. But those are the two big things that are new that are coming out.
I haven't been this excited for a gaming widget since my 11 to 14 inch sticks.
Yep. Well, now we have people with OCD who are like, we changed the number orientation specifically for Brent, but we didn't go back and change the number orientation from the previous sticks. So now we've got people with OCD who are like, they're not oriented the same.
I believe my exact words were, if you make another set of the original ones in green with the numbers oriented the other way, I'll buy those as well.
Wait, what?
I'm still trying to convince Nigel to make my sea bass measuring sticks, and I'll be happy to buy those.
Oh, yeah. I was actually trying to get to them. At this point,
you've got 1,001 other things to do. I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's calling me a horsewhip. We got all these, like, we have actually a bunch of, like, little custom favor jobs for War Machine Weekend. They're kind of getting tough to do.
To jump back real quick, go ahead,
Brent. It's going to be Troll Dojo, isn't it?
Shut up. So, maybe. All right. So, Colgrimma, Mauler, Earthborn. Stop, Brent. Mauler, Earthborn, Molg, Bomber, Axer, Bouncer. Two Shamans. Whelps is the third option. Krillstone and Feralgeist. And I think that's probably the safest starting point I can find for it.
That sure is Power of Dineo with four heavies and two lights.
Certainly is, sir. Certainly is.
I like that list because it's powerful. That theme, rather, it's powerful. But, man, does it build some samey lists. I guess a lot of themes do that. That's not a really fair complaint. Like, that's the theme force world we live in. Like, I'm unfairly making fun of Trollbloods.
Yeah.
When we all...
I mean, to be fair, it is exacerbated in Trolls because Trolls have...
Everything's so expensive.
Well, and on top of that, too, we don't have the same depth of heavies. Like, we just don't have as many heavies as other factions do. We have probably more lights, but we just don't have that many heavies, and we don't have a lot of character beasts.
So that's
true. So, like, there's not a huge amount of variety in it.
On the one hand, that's true, and on the other, there is a way in which I can argue against that, because, for example, Circle, their theme forces pare down what heavies they can take, and also a third of their heavies are completely useless, so they're still in, like, the same boat. Like, if you're looking at a Bones of Ouroboros list, once that CID drops, they're going to be very samey. It's going to be like, oh, look, two Wardens and Megalith, and two World Guardians, and a light or two, and that's the list, herp derp. It's going to be fairly similar with their Call of the Wild or whatever that new one is. Yeah, Call of the Wild. It's going to be like, there's a couple Stalkers because with the free sprint. And if you're playing Chromac, it's got Getarix in it. Never has Brennos. So it's not going to be, there's not going to be a whole lot of change up there either. So it's like theme forces just build samey lists. Like Haley, we've talked a lot about the minutiae of the last few decisions we're making about Haley 3 Gravediggers. But realistically, everyone's got Trencher Infantry. More than six, less than the full 15, but more than six, somewhere in between those two numbers, the full unit with UA of long gunners, a number of grenadiers between one and three, two trench busters, Maxwell Finn, Hitch, the dog. It's like maybe Murdoch, maybe not, or yeah, maybe Murdoch, maybe not, maybe Gibbs, maybe not, maybe definitely Ragman. Like they all should have Ragman. It's like maybe a Merc unit, maybe not, but it's like, the core of it is very samey. It's always going to be samey. That's Team Forces.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I'm so excited. I'm so crazy excited. I think Old Grim is like super interesting. Just as a caster, she does like a lot of things I really like, and her feat is just bonkers. So obviously, like, I'm excited.
She might now have the strongest feat in Trolls, now that Gristle does not have Gristle feat anymore.
She actually might be. You know, it's really weird, though. I've been playing some games with Borka, too, and that feat is... When that feat can affect more than just his battle group, that feat is crazy. That feat is very good. Especially when you can get it spread out over 12 inches instead of just 10, which was always been, like, the biggest problem with Borka, too. It's really strong. He's another caster that I think after War Machine Weekend, like, I'm going to start I don't know what direction I want to go in. Either it's Colgrimma, just because of the control functions at her feet, and her spell list is nuts. Or it's Borka 2. I haven't decided which yet, but both of them are great. I have a Borka 2 that I won some painting awards with that I'm really excited to put on the table. So I'll probably spend some time with him, too.
But you, Nigel, what are you looking forward to playing?
Oh, caught Nigel AFK.
No, Nigel. Nigel's like, oh, God, will someone shut Scott up about trolls?
No, I just definitely talked about.
Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about Madrak at all.
Madrak,
you know,
one.
It's weird. I actually think Madrak 1 might be a little bit of a trap right now.
Well, you'd be wrong.
I could be. I just feel like if everybody's going to tech for him as hard as they are, I think you might just be better off looking at other options right now and then letting that kind of shake out.
I don't think that's the case. I think what your job is as a Madrak player to innovate out of what you think those techs are. I think the assumption is that he takes 2 units of champs and warders. There is a billion ways. We were just talking about how all the lists are samey. If you want a list that's not samey, you can jump into Creel Company. You can make some crazy lists with him. And Band of Heroes is actually pretty flexible, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced the best builds of that list are probably going to run Femblades.
And just an aside, I pointed it out because we were talking, I think last week, how we were kind of joking. I was joking, you know, Keith brought up that Kalandra could run the Sea King with 3 Earthborns, and then she could have whatever.
Starcross and Bullet Dodger to just make an Earthborn that is functionally unkillable.
And I was like, why don't we just do that with Madrak, and then we'll just put Wrong Eye Snapjaw on there. And then that also works. I pointed it out, and you could do you can play Madrak that way, and I'm like, I'm tempted to do it, just because I think it could be really annoying, because they're all immune to knockdown plus 4 defense. Under, you know, Starcross, basically. Gross.
Yep.
I'm also kind of excited about Long Riders with Madrak 1. I wonder if there's some game there.
Absolutely. Because you set up, like, a champion wall or a warder wall or something. And then as the opponent comes into it, Tactician is broken as F, / one of the best abilities a caster can have. And all of a sudden the Cav come smashing through that line and clear them off, and then they go through again, like that hopscotch that you're able to do, and it's just so powerful with cavalry, which have that longer threat range. So absolutely, there's going to be play there.
I also made a list I think would be playable, which was 20 Creel Warriors with the UAs, and then the unit of champions, plus Sons of Brag coming up behind them, and it gives you 2 extra inches of your deployment zone, and then they're all immune to knockdown from a pretty large, fairly large area, and like that's a lot of just garbage to chew through, and it's armor 17 against ranged, armor 19 against melee, tough, no knockdown. Like, dudes who don't exactly hit, like, total wimps, because they have CMA.
The other thing, too, Scott, is everyone may be teching against it, but everyone's teching against Dark Host right now, too, and I'm still willing to bet money on Crix in the final.
I'm not sure about that, Mike. Although, it's been better in recent... It's definitely been better in recent days, but Crix traditionally has not done well at... the highest levels. Although it does have, like, Crix has 1 War Machine Weekend Invitational win under its belt. It's got, and then this year it did win Lock and Load.
MuseCon.
Yeah, just Lock and Load, MuseCon. Yeah, Crix is doing pretty well. But now its foil is back. Signar is back as the foil for Crix now that we've got Gravediggers.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to watch you play that game. Every time you talk about it, like, I know it has to be good. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saying it is. I just, every time I think of that, I'm just like, so the clouds don't stop the rifles, the mass debuffs. Like, I don't see how Haley lives through that. I don't see how you keep Haley alive long enough.
I'm not that worried about Haley.
That's why I want to see you play the game. Like, I want to learn from watching you play that game. And while we're at it, I also want to get in, like, if either you or Brent have time, I want to try the Doomshaper 3 matchup into Haley 3 a couple times, too, if it's possible. I know everybody's going to be super busy at War Machine Weekend, and you should be, because it's going to be amazing. But if there's time, I would love to try that game.
Sure, Scott. 5 o'clock tomorrow.
A little tough to do tomorrow.
Ah, see, now I gave you exactly what you asked for. I think you're just ducking.
Could be.
I'm not. Oh, man. Can we get a roll? All the plaque you would give John, and then now you're giving me the duck title, too?
Scott.
This isn't fair.
I have a question.
Don't you even. Don't you even do it.
Actually, I don't. I just. But I knew your just reaction to that. No, but seriously, come on over tomorrow.
I would, but the only problem I have is that my daughter has doctor's appointments during the day. And then tomorrow at night, we have parent-teacher conference. And then we have a PTA meeting. I'm a member of my daughter's PTA, and we have a PTA meeting after the conference. So I'm actually going to be pretty tied up. But I am down for Thursday. I'm down. He's going to be
pretty tied up. He's got to float on a lake while people throw bread at him.
Quack, quack. Not supposed to feed him bread, Nigel.
What? You're not?
You no, it's just bad for them.
Feed him Alka-Seltzer?
Vegetables are fine.
Oh.
I swear by all that is holy in this world, if one person gives me a duck call, a rubber duck, or otherwise duck paraphernalia, I will find you.
Get some Wonder Bread.
And I will do things to you that I can't describe on this podcast with that duck, Nigel.
Get some Wonder Bread, roll it up in little balls, and then throw it at Scott on his table.
I can't. I'm a diabetic. I can't have the bread. Like, I can't have the bread. It'd kill me. No. No. Not. Oh, this is so not funny.
I'm not certain. Do you still have the duck stuff from years back, Nigel?
we have a couple. Jesse Harcheck said he would give us new ones. He has a source, and we do need new ones because John did actually systematically hunt them all down and like lose, quote unquote, most of them.
Not mine.
Nice.
You guys are my friends. I'm not John. What are you doing?
I mean, if the duck call fits,
really,
right?
Really?
Oh, we're winding down here.
It's yeah, we are winding down.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I apologize.
I don't even know how to close out. What is the?
Thanks everyone for tuning into this episode 331 of Mies on Minis. This was Keith,
Nigel,
Brent,
Seabass. Terrible.
It's the mallard of the sea.
That you will always be my personal hero. Yeah, it's really funny. So this guy tweets me, and he's like, I really would have liked more Troll Dojo in this last episode. Seems like an odd time to focus on Menoth, Krix, and Signar. And I'm like, I replied, I think we might be recording tonight. I'll do my best to sneak some in. He replied, "Dear, or don't sneak. You're keeping things fresh. I doubt I listened to yet another. My Krix Signar Protectorate list is so great cast." I was like, come on, man.
Sounds like he wants to talk about Kador.
It sounds like he does, doesn't it? Because, I mean, like, there's a lot of factions. We could talk about Scorn.
And we got Legion. We have some Rhett Dojo, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I have a lot of Rhett Dojo. I've been dojoing Rhett a lot today.
Oh. I was
like, it's like.
Oh, Scott. I can see my stuff getting painted already.
You say that, but I will just buy the damn faction.
That's also an option. I mean, if I just sold it to you and then paid somebody, that's not a terrible option.
Who are we waiting on to get? Is John on?
John is out of town. He's not going to be on.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, shit. I'm
it's
sorry.
Us four. I hit record a little bit ago when you're talking about your tweet storm.
Oh.
But, yeah, we get a free ramble for a little bit and then get going. What are we going to talk about? War Machine Week, any stuff? Or?
I think it would be cool to talk a little bit about prepping for a con and just kind of get, like, everybody's, like, hot take on what you personally do for a con, whether it's prepping to play games or just prepping to go and just do whatever. That might be kind of cool.
We could do our, like, road to War Machine Weekend, and then we just get an update from everybody what they're doing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then I can talk about Troll Dojo for at least, like, 5 minutes. Please let me do that.
Oh, 1 minute.
Josh isn't on.
You know
Come
why?
On.
You know why you don't get to talk about Troll Dojo?
Why?
Because you don't actually
because
Troll Dojo.
Because I have
Dojo.
A tendency to.
You're just like, I'm just playing Grim Toe Douche for three, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, he's not untrue there.
That's true. That's a true statement. No, but a lot of people have been very curious about my Grim 2 list because it's very unorthodox.
You made a post in the Trolls forum with the list of models so they actually have it at their fingertips instead of trying to infer?
Yeah, something like that. I also would like to – I mean, like, I have Troll Dojo. There's a couple different lists that I think are worth exploring right now. Mainly like Kul Grimma and Borka 2. I think Borka 2 I think could be really interesting. And I'd like to like because I actually have a Borka 2 list that I'm thinking about replacing Doomshaper 3 with. Because Doomshaper 3, as soon as the Express team hits the table, Doomshaper 3 is pushed out of the meta. He'll never see another game.
November 8th.
So I think you kinda have to have like you still have to have something that can act in that capacity. And I think I think Borka 2 actually does that. I think he may even actually do that really, really well. So, kind of curious. But, I mean, I could do that, Nigel. I'm a real boy. I have value.
You know what? I want a dojo. I want a dojo why Doomshaper 3 can't play in a world in which this stupid Trencher Express team. Like, why can't we dojo around this Express team?
Okay. I'm open to that. I'm 100% open to that. Because Doomshaper 3 is my favorite caster in the... Like, him and Grim 2 are my favorite warlocks... in the game.
We couldn't have guessed.
So, thanks, asshat. We're recording. I'm sorry.
Easy. God, Aurora's listening. Aurora, earmuffs. There's a raging sailor on the airwaves.
Yeah, so last night, Brent, Keith and Nigel and I all jump onto this chat group or Skype group while we're painting, right? We're just talking back and forth. And, I just made the assumption that everybody was wearing a headset. So I'm just talking up a storm and swearing like a sailor, like just terrible potty mouth, you know? And I like all of a sudden I kind of stop and I'm like, Keith, please tell me you're wearing a headset. Keith's like, nope. And I'm like, oh, like the only thing that ran through my head was like, how do I apologize profusely enough? Is there a way?
For teaching his kid a new word?
She was listening to what I was saying. She learned more than one. It was pretty bad. I was not being a gentleman at all.
Why isn't Kul Grimma? So we got to wait for this like Northkin stuff to come out.
You don't have to wait for Northkin to come out. Kul Grimma is also amazing and will drop very easily into.
No. So I'm just saying, why is she not in War Room?
Oh, it's because she's part of the Northkin stuff and the models aren't released yet. I assume on Thursday they will release an update for Colgrimma or for War Room to put those models in. Let me fire up my excuse me.
Firing up War Room here. Well, I've got War Room open, but I gotta fire up this Trencher Express team. Is this a unit?
Yeah, it's a weapons group.
And they are fair and balanced.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're worth the 5 points you spend on them.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd be worth 6.
Not gonna cuss out Brent. I'm not gonna cuss out Brent.
You are totally gonna cuss me out.
For the love of all that's good and holy, I certainly want to.
Just remember one thing. I'm pretty sure your wife likes me because we share a hobby of giving you grief.
That is true. My wife actually did say, she's like, yeah, I like that Brent guy. He's really nice. He's not nice to you, but he's really nice.
Was it because we were making fun of you inviting us over to play and then you wander around the entire house talking on Skype while saying you had a paint session?
I was painting quite a bit. I can't just paint for like sit in a chair for 4 hours in a row. Like, I have to get up and move around.
Is this 3:31, by the way?
This is now 3:31, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, should we just get started?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm looking at Juice Box's Minoth real quick, and they look sharp. That's really good looking.
Where did he post them?
He posted them just on his Facebook page.
Really?
Yeah, but they look really good. Man, he's come a long way as a painter.
It's real hard for me to check because I'm actually painting right now.
Hmm.